Hey, Lindsay?
Yes, Kirk?
You know what I hate? Ice cream cake.
What? I'm okay with ice cream cake.
Seriously?
You're so weird. I can't. You know what I hate?
Besides me?
Yes, besides you, Kirk. I hate raisin bread.
Like, I hate it as you won't eat it?
It's like there's something about hot raisins to me that make me want to vomit.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. All right, so listen, do all of you out there love food? More importantly, do you love debating about food? Then subscribe now to Food Fight, the food podcast where Lindsay and I argue about our favorite pastime, eating.
Each week on Food Fight, the two of us will have a fully opinionated and completely uneducated discussion about food with a few fun facts thrown in so we don't sound like total morons.
So if you're a foodie, a food fan, or just someone who loves a good argument, pause the podcast you're listening to and subscribe to Food Fight, available wherever you get your podcasts. Lindsay, do you really hate me?
I think you're an acquired taste.
Well, here we go. I always say a special episode, but this is, and welcome, and I hope you guys are doing as well as you can do with all of the craziness in the world. If you're able to watch me on YouTube, you can see there's a light switch right there, which I sometimes I could pick a more beautiful place, but I haven't yet. I just think a leather chair in the bottom rim of a huge mirror that shows the rest of the room is unnecessary. I less is more. That's how I've always looked at my lower parts. By the way, if you're 12, that doesn't mean anything. It just means, you know, your toys, your things you keep on the ground, Legos, which I have wrapped around my penis. What can I say? A bunch of stuff. I had a little business to take care of. Why not? This episode is, you know, I don't have that. I'm not that many in, you know, I'm only into my 30s with these episodes. And I love doing this. I think I've been pretty clear about it. I have no material gain out of it, except I love communicating with people and friends and talented people and hear how they're doing. And today's guest is an amazing person. In every way, I've known her for so long. She's a movie star. She's a television star, which sounds, the word star is almost offensive in this day and age, but she is just an amazing talent. Whoopi Goldberg is going to be on in just a moment. And I just want to tell you a couple things. One, you can go to my YouTube page, which is still a newbie, but it's just youtube.com/Bob Saget. I don't like the way that sounds. Slash could be a verb. I don't like that. But that will show you the Zoom interviews, all of these interviews we've been doing that are visual, because I started this podcast before the pandemic and we were only audio at the time. I don't think Zoom had any stockholders at the time. Maybe they did because they had board meetings for big oil companies. And what else? Review, rate, subscribe. That's what you want to do. Subscribe or follow, whatever it is, wherever your source is of how you watch this or listen to this podcast. That comes from my heart. So without any further ado, boy, that was a long intro. Here comes someone I've loved a very long time, Whoopi Goldberg. So did you work all morning?
Yep. Yeah.
How is it doing throughout this time where I find that you're the most needed? I don't know. If I feel like when I watch you and I watch the show, I feel a calmness. There's something, because we're not getting the honesty we deserve.
Well, how could we? I mean, we've never in the last three and a half years, we've never gotten the honesty we deserve. So it's not, none of this is a surprise or a shock. It's just a disappointment, you know, because you think somebody would grow into it or recognize that, oh my, this is my job. I am the leader of the free world, not this one. He's just like, oh, okay, maybe I'll press this button. No, no, what happens if I press, oh, I'm going to get rid. It's like, God, come on, Goofy.
I know.
Come on.
Let's send kids back to school where just snot flies like a centrifuge.
Well, yeah. You know, I want to see where you're sending your kids to school first. I want to know, because, you know, if your kid's getting checked every 5 minutes, if you give us all the same rights to have our children checked every 20 minutes like they check you, then, oh, yeah, sure.
Right.
Why not? Well, but you're not offering that.
Well, they have it worse. His kids are homeschooled. That's the worst.
Wow. It really is. It tells you everything, really.
I think he's going through Hop on Pop with them right now.
You're funny.
How have you been otherwise? It's quarantine-ish. You go from your home the whole time?
I go from my bed into my office.
Right.
And no one is happier than me. I don't have to wear pants. I make them wonder if I am.
Right.
These are the things that make me very happy and keep me going.
I think there's less urinary tract infections due to this because there's so much airage.
Well, I believe that's so. But, you know, you get to be a certain age and you're glad if anything introduces itself.
I mean, it's just a breeze, a nice little breeze.
Yeah, you know, because you never know what you're cooking.
We're incubators.
That's right.
We truly are incubators. And, and the weirdest part is the people that really have the most information, which changes every day, are now not allowed to speak.
Well, that's because we all know what they're saying. We know what they're going to say. So it's really, you know, I'm okay if you can't go on television in front of people and sort of change or massage what you're saying, because I know what you're saying. You're saying, put a mask on, dummy.
Right.
Or, you know, this is going to be an issue for you. And gee, you know, California, I love California, but you know, Orange County, you should have kept your masks on.
I know.
You know, and you know, unfortunately, people have to, my mother used to call this hard head, soft ass.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. Because that's what it is. You're so hard-headed that now, you know, your ass is just out. And you will get your ass beaten because you're hard head.
Well,
so,
and it's COVID parties. The people are having actual COVID parties, but the party's over. I mean, it's over.
Well, people are dying. That's what, the you know, supposedly this kid said. Maybe I, you know, should have taken it seriously. Yeah. Yeah. You know,
and then we see the sound bites and they are treacherous when we hear how people guffaw and how the, you know, I forgot her title, the head of the Board of Education of the United States. What is
DeVos?
Oh, I've never heard anything like it. It was literally how I used to do papers in fifth grade where I just didn't know any answer or. You haven't read the material and you just, blah, 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 blah. It's.
But it's been like this the whole time.
Of course it has.
It's been like this the whole time. She's not gotten any smarter than she was when she first got the job.
No.
You know, and you know, what I do know is that if you don't surround yourself with people who have the best interest of the country at heart, this is not going to work because dictators always make these mistakes.
Yeah.
They start doing stupid stuff and then everyone starts getting sucked in. And then you go, wait a minute, you don't care about me. You don't care about my kid. You don't care if my kid goes back to school. You're so up your own behind that you don't recognize that you're out there now. We all see, you know, we don't need to hear Fauci say anymore because we see it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need Betsy DeVos to tell you any more ridiculous suggestions. You know, don't tell me the CDC is their suggestions. That's not a suggestion. Fauci's not making suggestions. He's saying, here's what you got to do. And all these people who keep saying, you know, well, he was wrong. Yeah, a lot of people were wrong, but he's right now.
Oh, he's 100% right. I met him years ago. when I was trying to work on what you've been kind enough to help me on, scleroderma, which my sister, I lost her to. And that disease is similar in some ways in that it's autoimmune, but it's also vascular, but it affects the lungs and it scars the lungs. And it also is disproportionately affects people of African descent. And and that I'm told, I was talking to Joe Rogan the other day, and that, and that's where I get my information these days is who are you interviewing? Whose podcast are you on? Do you want to watch the news? You don't have to. You have the guest right there. So you get your answer.
Yeah.
But it's a lack of vitamin D. There's all different theories of why it's disproportionate. But it's just amazing to me that it's all happening. And it's amazing, but it makes total sense that it's all happening at the same time. That we've had no father or mother of our country, that we've had no one capable of empathy and of unification.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, there's no reason why I shouldn't be in New York coming to your show, hugging you right now.
Yeah.
And us going, okay, let's finally go get a drink, you know, in a restaurant.
Yeah.
But it's over for a while. For
a little while. But this is what we needed. I believe that the light at the end of this particular tunnel is multi. Families have relearned what it means to be a family.
Yes.
You know, phones which were attached to people in their nostrils have been put down, and people are actually playing games at home. You know, people are talking about what it was like, you know, to sit with their mother and father and what it was like to hang out with the family when the family dictated what you did. And it wasn't an individual choice. It was a family decision. No, my mom and dad say, I can't answer the phone until they've cleared whoever it is, you know? So little things that have sort of been whittled away, which people needed to have some direction in your family. Who's in charge here?
Right.
I'm the parent. I'm telling you, get out of my room and go to your room and clean it up because it smells like a sewer. And suddenly, adult children are going, you're right, let me go clean this. Let me go take care of this. Little things that we've been missing, little responsibilities that we maybe gave away or just gave up or stopped listening when people were talking because we had to talk to people outside of our phone. All of that has shifted, and in a way that we could never have explained to our kids and our grandkids what that means, what that disconnect is. So we have all sort of interlocked again and reconnected. We have also learned what is really a bad day.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
People really have bad days and they die.
Yeah.
You know? So it's putting it all in perspective. And then suddenly, we've learned what happens when we all decide that we're not going to listen. That chaos is what we're going to do. We're going to run them up. So California was going to open. Now they're not opening. They're slowly closing up again. Michigan slowly closing. And you know what? They're slowly closing. People are dying because some adult, some really bad adult who didn't have your best interest at heart told you to walk around outside without a mask.
Oh, yeah.
Told you it's okay to go and yell in people's faces, holding your gun, being pissed off about a monument, not realizing that you are spitting a killer into the faces of the people that you're screaming at. So all of these lessons, hard learned, didn't have to beat us hard.
And they're going to have to learn it again because they're not going to listen. They're going to open again, and there's going to be we haven't even had a second wave yet.
No, but you know what? People may have to close up again, but I feel really strongly that people in Florida and in Texas and in Louisiana and all these states that had lots to say about, these are my rights and my rights in Arizona, these are my rights. Okay, so here's your right. Here's your right to go into the hospital.
Yeah.
To have to look in the eyes of the people that you were screaming at when you were calling them fakes because they were telling you to wear a mask, you know, because you knew better than the doctors. Now you have to be polite in your illness because they will take care of you anyway. That's the beauty of the doctor.
If you can get a bed right now in Florida, after watching that soundbite of the governor screaming and yelling. And what is all the screaming and yelling? What world are we in? We've never been.
We're in the world of theater, live theater, on that was screaming and yelling and, you know.
Driven by ratings, driven by news ratings, sound bites, and then everyone knows the camera's on them, so they want to get their point across. It's like a giant South Park episode where someone has their moment.
Yeah.
And everything is a split screen of someone who's the president or the head of something or a Tony Fauci. And then the person arguing with them has 50,000 followers on Twitter. That's the other person. 'Cause everyone goes toward who has their voice, and their voice could be insane.
Yeah.
What they believe in.
Well, here's the thing. You could have 50,000 or a million followers on Twitter, but, you know, if they're listening to you, chances are they're all in the hospital too.
Yeah.
You know, so that doesn't really help. But the only way we're going to get through this phase is the hard way. See, so we got to do the hard way, which, you know, is probably best because that's how people learn lessons, unfortunately.
And then you got to get strong and fight through it and be lucky ones that have the stamina and the mental health to be able to do it, because look at the homeless thing that's about to happen, that is happening. But you know, you talk about the wonderfulness of being able to go into your mom's room or the kitchen, you don't have a room. What if you don't? What if a whole family? I've on this podcast I get to call people. And it's just one of the things I do besides talking to someone as awesome and amazing as you are, a hero of the world. I'm not kidding either, by the way. You've always been love, always, since I met you when I was a mere lad. I was
you were just a baby.
I was a little 21-year-old thing, and then I would see you years later on Comic Relief with beautiful Robin and Billy and. And those, we never saw this happening back then. You didn't not think like of that.
This. No, but you know what? Here's the thing. You know, people fought really hard over the years to make sure that there was respect for folks who, if you lost your ability to hold on to your job, you weren't put down, you weren't crapped on, you weren't called names, you weren't called lazy. You know, we did try to do the same for, you know, Native American folks and Black folks and women and, you know, gay folks, you know, really trying to strive to make us all feel like we're on secure footing. And then suddenly this thing came along, which is called politically correct. And it began to whittle away at why people made the demands that they made.
Right.
Native Americans didn't want to be depicted this way anymore. They didn't want to be spoken about this way. You know, gay people didn't want these jokes made about them anymore. They just didn't. Discuss me like you would discuss any other human being. And so we got away and started to forget why people wanted you to pay attention. They all know they want you. You're a snowflake if you do that. You know, you suddenly, you know, when you talk about masks and stuff and people talk about their sexuality, you know, it's not, it's unmasculine to wear a mask. Actually, no, it's unmasculine to open yourself up to die for no good reason.
No one's seeing
to martyr yourself for nothing.
Everybody became so superficial, and it's compounded itself with media, with phones, with everything, with glorification of the Kardashianism of America, of what's gorgeous and what's, you know, everybody wants to be a reality star. I mean, all people.
Well, they've made it look at, listen, the only person that has really sort of put it together, you know, the Kardashians have done something that no one has been able to duplicate. Not the Trumps, not anybody. These folks took a really crappy situation.
Yeah.
And turned it around.
Right.
Because they were smart enough to say, okay, this is not how this is going down. We're going to do this a whole other way.
Don't say and going down because that's how it started.
Oh, okay.
One, you know, you make one tape and look what happens.
Just, you know, well, but tell that to all the people who made subsequent tapes and nothing happened.
Nothing. And they stay up there. I don't have any tapes. I don't have that kind of pride.
Well, I might have had tapes, but who could remember that far back?
You know? Boy, haven't you gone through... I'm sorry, what was your point? You were talking about
saying that, you know, if there's a takeaway here, it is you can turn around a shitty situation.
Right.
Perseverance. These folks persevered. And not only did they come out on top, you know, they have taken it and turned it into many different things. So I wish people had the stick-to-itiveness that the Kardashian family has, whether they are, you know, one's ideas of what, you know, you should be appreciative. I'm appreciative of the fact that she's not had to make another tape. She hasn't had to do any of that stuff. And the last laugh.
Well, the first tape was so good. Why remake it? You know?
Well, she has the last laugh.
100%. 100%.
Absolutely.
And, you know? I've been cynical. I'm a comedian. I can't help it. The gene goes off. But not when it comes to, you know, and some people, of course, disagree, but the bravery of Caitlyn is, mm-hmm. that is to stay stable and be able to be in the public eye, which that was born into all of the people. You could, in that family, you could pull out of the public eye, but to not do that and to make yourself an example because that's who you are is a very scary and bold thing to do.
Listen, when folks decide who they are and they're fine with it, how can you not be? You know, how can you tell anybody that their truth about themselves is not right because it isn't your truth?
And that's important for young people the most because my daughters are scared of what the world is becoming. They're 33 now and 31 and 27. And it's a world that there is a feeling of what have we inherited? They don't blame me because they know I was always a person that didn't. I never saw race. I was raised in Norfolk, Virginia, where it was racist. You know, I was a kid. Where were you again? I always forget. I should have looked.
New York, Manhattan.
And project. So did you have in the projects? So did you have was it difficult coming up?
You know, we were all poor. Everybody was poor. The white people were poor. The Latin people were poor. The Chinese people were poor. We were all poor. So that was what we had walking down the street. You couldn't tell who was who in New York because in wintertime, everybody's got on a big coat. So everybody looks fly, you know. But tell your kids, it is going to be okay that this is an adjustment like we have never lived through, but our grandparents did.
They did.
Yes, they did. You know, so this is the first time we have had to face this kind of adjustment. And it's happening a lot sooner to them than it is to us. You know, we had to wait 50 years for the adjustment to happen. You know, our grandparents were kids when their adjustment happened.
Mine had to flee Russia because they were cutting the heads off. The Russian Cossacks were cutting the heads off of their relatives. So,
you know, so adjustments happen. These are meant to teach us what not to be, what not to do, you know. And so when you see more people going, wait a minute, I don't like this. That's right. I don't like this. You got to kind of say, okay, I'm glad to hear it. You know, come on, let's let folks know this is not okay. You know, and it's okay to disagree.
That's the most important thing that I, as a human, go, why can't everybody? And we you know, this fundamentalism, it's far, far left, far, far, far right. And both of them are not allowing a lot of us to say what we want to say by their rules, if we had to live by them. But if everybody could have a discourse, which is what you do every day, if everyone can come to the table, we've lost the values and everyone's so ready to pounce. I can't wait to do stand up again, but it takes 4 minutes to tee up something, say something that you can't say, and then 5 minutes to apologize for it.
You know, yeah. But the bottom line is, at the beginning, you have to say, listen, I don't know who y'all are. I don't really care. I'm glad you paid to see me, you know, but you know what I do or you wouldn't be here.
Right.
So you're going to like some of it. Some of it you're not going to like. What I don't want to do is have to apologize. So do me a favor, put your phone down.
Right.
Don't hold the phone up while I'm working, because this ain't TV.
Oh, you know? We can't. I mean, Dave Chappelle locks them up and Ziplocks, you know? Chris. I mean, they have to.
Yes.
We have to take a quick break.
A gift of fine jewelry holds so much meaning. It can really mark a moment. That's why I love being a jewelry consultant at Shane Company. I get so much joy helping our customers find something special for the people they love. Like the customer in the military who wanted to propose to his girlfriend before he was deployed. We rushed to get the engagement ring ready for him, and he was overwhelmed with gratitude. Or the customer who survived cancer. The whole time she was in treatment, her grown daughter was by her side, taking care of her. She told us her daughter had a heart of gold, and to show her appreciation, she gave her a 14-karat gold heart necklace. Another customer came in to get his wife a gift to celebrate their growing family. They were adopting a baby. He picked out a beautiful necklace with the child's birthstone. It's precious moments like these that make my job so meaningful.
Now you have a friend in the jewelry business, Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.
All right, we're back. I got people. So
I understand.
This is literally the beginning of broadcasting, where we're at right now.
Yes.
It's literally because podcasts are radio. It's how people got through the war. And then when television happened, it looked like this. It was a two shot of people talking. And then they put on little plays when the camera angles got a little more large with no audience.
Do we need an audience?
We have one. That's the thing. They're right there. They need us. They need you. It's you're one of the shows that are really needed. I mean, it's the purest of all of them where there's a discussion.
Well, we do have the discussions. I mean, you know, the beauty of what Barbara created was, of course, the ability to say, well, this is how I feel. You know, this is how I feel today. Now, tomorrow it could be something totally different, but this is how I feel, and I'm entitled to it. I'm entitled to feel that way because the Constitution says I have the right.
Boy, people are trying to change that.
Yeah, well, that will be interesting. That will be interesting because that, you know, that is the day we can no longer critique what our politicians and priests and, you know, doctors, you have the right to say, I don't like this. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. That's the beauty of the country, man. We're one of the few countries where you can do that and not get shot.
Yeah. That's the idea. Yeah, right. What time is it?
You know.
And it was interesting. I was talking to, again, Joe Rogan the other day, because I'm not talking to that many people if it wasn't for this. but I went there and did the podcast and got the swab and got the blood test. And it's first time, one of the first times I've been out, except for a dinner that I will not redo. He was saying, what if that moment with George Floyd had not happened? What if that girl hadn't videotaped that? What if that knee had not been on that neck? Would this have happened? And I didn't have time to really fully flesh it out, because you're doing a conversation and you go, oh, why didn't I? And I think, yes, it would have, because everyone's in quarantine. No one can work. Problems that exist just amplify. Breonna Taylor, I mean, any trigger was ready to go, because it was time. It was just
too many. You know, and listen, I feel like I've had so many cops in my life, so many really good cops who really don't represent this other
at all
group that's in, you know, it's like everything in life. You got good cops, you got really bad cops. And, you know, if we can retrain our police officers to be the police officers they're supposed to be, the ones who are not looking for who's getting ready to jump me, but who's out there that I can help, who needs me. You know, where it's not about you seeing me in terms of what my color looks like, and not the quality of person who is saying to you, listen, here's my license, here's my stuff. Yes, I'm in a carry state, so my gun is in here, and you don't shoot me.
Right.
We need cops who are not that nervous to the point where they should not be police officers. They can be different kinds of officers, but they can't be the people who are protecting you. They can't be, because it means that you, me, everybody, our kids, we're all in danger of people who are too nervous, too uncomfortable to do this job.
They're scared. They're scared. And there's also the ego power thing that happens. Yeah. It's no different than what trickles down from the orange leader, the orange meanie, who is thinking that force is the only way to stop anything. And psychological testing needs to be done. I believe it was Neil deGrasse who said it takes 4 months to train, is all that's required. I don't know if it's true. In New York, 8 months in California to become a policeman, and it takes 12 months to become a pastry chef. So his metaphor was obviously it should be a year of training with pay. I think there should be some program that psychological, behavioral, everything.
I want cops treated like we treat doctors
and firefighters. They're heroes.
And firefighters. I want them treated like the heroes that they are. I want them trained properly. Yeah. I want them to have the psychological help that they need.
That's the issue all across the board everywhere, because mental illness is everywhere. And I was talking to Howie Mandel, who's a dear friend, and I know you know Howie for a long time. And his OCD is not just OCD. It's a deep-seated thing. He wrote a book about it. And his belief in our conversations, we actually have been talking a lot. I've been talking to people that I've needed to talk to people, and I know you have too, and thank God you have the format to, otherwise we'd be just sitting here and or talking to people on the phone going, so did you go into the living room? But he was saying that we're all born with 100% mental health issues. We all have mental illness. It's how much the choke is open. It's how much what degree. And I lost another sister who was schizophrenic. So that was, you know, many people have been touched by that and don't want to talk about it.
I feel like if you're going to go into service of some sort, you have to talk about it.
Must.
You have to, because not only are you carrying what your demons may be, but now you're looking at somebody else and you're judging them through a whole different set of tools that I may not know about. Right. So I need to know, you know, we all need to make each other aware of what we have as strengths, the things that are harder for us. We need to let each other know this so that if there is someone who can help, we can grab onto them. But the idea that, you know, people need to stop. You know, everybody just needs to stop and say, okay, what is the goal here? The goal is to make a better police department, a better group of people running the country, a better conversation to be had. That is the end goal, it seems to me.
100%.
That requires that we understand we're not going to hear everything we want to hear, you know? And that requires that people say, okay, I need to do some homework so I know what statues need to come down. Or what steps need to stay in place and why they need to stay. These are conversations.
People can't even agree on my whole thing is, and I've been like, it's a joke to me, but it shouldn't be, but I can't help it, is that any statue that is basically like a hollow Easter bunny, if the thickness is less than an inch, it's made of tinfoil and 9 people can pull it down with a rope, it had no place being there anyway. I mean, that's something you put up for Mardi Gras. It's not really a statue. It's just a piece. It's a shell. If you can't move Ulysses S. Grant off the horse because it's made of molten lava, I guess you leave it. I mean.
With the information, you know, and a lot
yes,
of it.
Yes, I was joking, but yes.
I know you're cheesing, but a lot of the issues I find comes because people only have a quarter amount of the information. You know, they don't have all the information and they don't believe that you feel the way that you feel, even though you're saying, like, you know, it's like when people say, well, you know, I should be able to tell you what I feel and you should do what I tell you to do. Well, you know, that doesn't seem to work both ways, you know?
Right.
So I sort of feel like if I'm telling you that there are issues because you chose these heroes for me, and I'm telling you I may have some additions to this list, you got to hear people out. You have to stop condemning the idea that someone would say, hey, well, maybe George Washington, you know, maybe he was a great guy here, but he really sucked over here. Same with Thomas Jefferson. He really was great here, but he really sucked over here. So how do we balance it?
And how do we really know? What is the exact history? How do we have, where do those facts come from? Because we were left.
Well, they come from the people who wrote the books.
Right. That's right.
But, you know, if you take a little DNA swab, you can find out if.
Right. You know, if you're related.
Yeah. You know, there are more and more amazing things happening in the world that will pull us closer together. But right now we're so far apart that it feels like it's insurmountable. It is not.
I agree. And that is the voice of reason that I think comes with maturity. I don't think, because a lot of people are scared and they think it's all coming down, and people can't even agree on Hamilton, you know. This beautiful musical is out. What are your feelings on that? That people are saying, well, it's not relevant now because they had slaves, and how could this piece of art represent where we're at right now?
Well, it depends on what you're looking at. You know, Hamilton this musical represents so many different things. It represents the idea that actors can be on a stage doing great material and triumph. Yeah. His material is great. And it doesn't matter what color the actors are. It doesn't matter.
No.
The actors are brilliant. You know, you will not find any historical person, no person in history who walked on water. Not one of them. Everybody's got something.
Well, people will say Jesus did.
Well, but then they start with, you know, but then he went in and destroyed the church and it was, you know.
Well, he was angry. They were selling jewelry outside the temple. I mean, I'd be mad.
You would be mad, but not if you're, you know, not if it's, he's not your thing. Right. You know, you're like, what are you complaining about? But aside from JC, I don't know anybody who we're not going to find something on. You know, Ulysses S. Grant, you mentioned Grant, you know, he also had a slave or had slaves and then realized his folly and let him go. Said, I made a mistake here. I've done things that I made mistakes with and I want to change them. See, if we could.
If we could do that, if we could have, if, you know, during that Trump Mount Rushmore speech, if there were even, and that was just, I mean, I don't know how you can look at that and just, well, there are people that look at that and go, that's what I want to hear. That's mm-hmm. right. But if you want to bring everybody into the conversation, you add a 6-minute hunk that's been written for him, that's cleverly written, that adds people because his editions are mentioning Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali would say, take my name off of that speech right now, please. Because that was, he would be against every single thing this man was saying. Muhammad Ali was not celebrated as the greatest of all time because he changed his name. He loved being a Muslim and he wouldn't go to war. And he suffered because of it.
Yeah. But, you know, when people read, you know, this gentleman likes to rewrite history a lot. So he likes to make stuff up and pull stuff out.
Well, he doesn't
out.
Even know but, it. I mean.
Well, that's the unfortunate part is that it's so easy to trip him up, you know. But it shouldn't be about finding a way to trip him up. It should really have been about, gee, you know what? I'm not sure about this mask thing, but just in case, put your mask on. Put your mask on just in case, because I care about you.
I wish somebody could get through to him. You know, I wish one of his kids would say that to him. There's things that, I mean, I think he's, according to the book.
It's not about him anymore, babe.
No, I know.
It's not about him anymore. It's really bound to us, right? It's down to what are you going to do? What am I going to do?
Well, I know what I'm going to do. Sure I'm going to do the right thing. You're going to do the right thing. And
I'm going to try.
Right. And we're going to lead by whatever example we can, but we need a leader and leaders and get rid of this horrible bunch of people, these cronies.
Well, it's good to know. It's good to know they're there. I'm glad to know where everybody is. They shined a light on and all the, it's like, oh, there you are. There you, okay. You're on the ceiling. You're in the corner. Okay. Oh, I know where you are now.
Oh, you're still there. Wow. What do you, everybody else got replaced, but you're still there.
Yeah, you're still there. So, you know, listen, I don't have all the answers. I got the answer for me. The answer for me is I don't want to allow anyone to tell me that we are not going to be able to rise to this challenge. I believe we can. I believe we can. I believe the challenge is going to be a challenge. But I think the more we think about how to rise to the challenge, the less we'll think about, you know, failing.
I agree.
I hope so, anyway.
We're going to take one more quick break. All right, we're back. That's my favorite thing to do on here.
I love that. I love that.
I have a question for you because you have such a, your career is not your career. It's your art. It's who you are. And, you know, Jerry Zucker's a friend of mine and you go and do a couple of movies with him. And the one that the world will always love besides all your other movies. I mean, Ghost is this thing this force of love that it looks so down on evil. It's so clear. You got your, but it's not just a good person, bad person. It's not a metaphysical movie. It's such the message. What I just have always wanted to ask you, I never did, that whole experience from the moment you read the script to the moment you started filming, was it just because it was on paper, because you knew you were working with Jerry and Demi and Patrick? Did you just know that this was something that was just beautiful?
No.
Isn't that interesting? No. Don't you hear that a lot? It's so interesting.
Yeah. It just was like, you know, everyone and their mother had auditioned for this part, except for me. Because no one let me know that it was out there, because they weren't interested in me to do the part. And so when they hired Patrick, apparently Patrick said, well, have you offered it? Because they were still looking for Auto May. They said, well, does Whoopi not want to do it? It's like, is she not interested? And Jerry's like, no, we haven't been to her because, you know, we've gone out to other people and we feel like she'll take people out of the movie. And I think they felt that the persona that they thought that I had, I think it was producers really, and the writer, I think, felt that I might be over, I might be too much for the part.
Because of your comedic background?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure, but I just know they weren't looking for me. Because I called my agent, Ron Meyer, and I said, do you know about this movie? Everybody's like, oh, who told you? It's like, well, a friend of mine said she went in auditions, and what he said to me was, look, there are lots of movies out there for you to do. I was like, and what does that mean? He's like, they don't really want you. We've suggested you, they don't really. And there was a great casting woman whose name, of course, slips my mind, but she wanted me too. She's the one who's casting, and she kept saying every week, whatever, you know, Whoopi is around, you know. So when they hired Patrick, they said, well, no, we haven't really gone to Whoopi because we think she'd pull people out of the movie. He said, well, I'm not going to do this unless you at least go and audition her. You have to do it. Where is she? Well, she's in Alabama right now. She's working on a movie. He's like, well, we need to go see her. And so he got a plane and put Jerry in the plane, and they came to see me in Montgomery, Alabama, where I was shooting Long Walk Home.
Right.
And as soon as Patrick showed up, it was, we kind of were just as silly as we could be, you know. And Jerry just was like, no, this works, but okay, you know. And when they left, it was like, well, that was fun. It was a great afternoon. And then the next day I got a call saying, you remember that movie they didn't want you for? Well, now they do. And I was like, okay. And that's why when I won, I thanked Patrick, because had he not put his foot down and said, I need her to tell me she doesn't want to do this, this is ridiculous, you know, I would not have gotten the part.
And so. And the winning of that, did you feel, I mean, there have been so few Black actors and actresses that have won, and it's
up until that point.
Up until that point,
women. No women, certainly. Actors won, but no Black women. Between 1939, I guess, 1940, really, right. And whenever I won, there was a dearth.
Well, that it was just humanity. It was just where we were at, and look where we are. That's all going to grow from this as well, I think.
Everything
is going to grow from this.
Yeah. you know, and it's a good thing, you know. We might grow in some places too fast and then we'll pull back, but we will have gone further than we've gone thus far. And that's really kind of what we want. And we all need this. We all need to take a good look at the racist that lives inside of us, each and every one of us,
right.
You know, see how we can do, what can we do better? What can we do? How can we step better? How can I be more empathetic?
That's an ultimate reset. I mean,
yeah.
It's a complete, people have to re-examine, and people that are just angry and refuse to accept it. And no matter what happens with the election in November and all of that stuff, if people don't get what they want, what repercussions will happen from that? We just have to trust somehow.
Yeah, we do.
That humanity.
We won't know until we know. So it's like, okay.
And are you personally, your family, everybody's okay?
Yes. You know, everybody's good. I'm lucky. Very, very lucky. And I know it.
And you're thrilled that you have the view for all these years. When you started doing it, were you like, oh, I want to go do a movie now and then? Did you feel that, or did you feel like this
is not? They said I could. You know, that was part of the stipulation. But I think people are very, it takes folks a long time to figure out if they want to take a chance. Because, you know, if somebody decides they don't like something I said, they can really tank whatever I'm doing. So
that is where we're at too, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you don't see me driving cars and car commercials. You don't see me, you know, doing candy bar commercials or any of the things that I would love to, you know, I would have fun doing.
Right.
You know, because, you know, it's a little iffy.
Well, you've got the balls to say what you feel in your heart. I don't know how anybody can. Well, I do know how anybody could take issue.
Yeah.
People take issue with me. And I'm just like, you know, I'm a good person. I just find something's funny that a guy that looks like me is not supposed to say.
Yeah. Well, that has always been your thing.
I can't help it.
You are who you are. And that's why I say when people come to see you, they know who you are.
Yeah.
You know, if you're coming with an agenda, you don't want to fight me. You know, if you don't want to, don't come. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with you not
coming. I'm okay if somebody wants to leave. I'll give them their money.
Yes. Yes.
Oddly enough, when I make that offer, nobody leaves.
No, they say, we're just going to the bathroom. Keep talking.
Yeah, or the guy will yell something out and I'll go. Then I've had people, not lately, 3 months ago. I was supposed to have a big tour this year and then do my new special and then stop for a while to become a person again. but this has been a self-imposed become a person again.
Yeah.
But a lot of my stuff was dealing with racial inequality and the racism I had as a kid and segregation in bathrooms that I was aware of in Virginia in 1961 and all these things I didn't understand that were just there in this country. And I started talking about it. So that was my new hour before pandemic, before this explosion. That has awakened the world, and
truly,
but it's in the zeitgeist, so we feel it coming anyway. And it all started with a bad cheerleader, with a bad captain at the helm.
Well, it probably didn't. It probably has been there for the longest time because you felt it. But what happened was, we've come to a point where you're so incredulous of what it is that you have to tell somebody. You have to say, are you really looking at it like this? Because I don't know how you cannot see. I don't know. I don't get it. You know, I don't either.
I don't understand racism.
Oh, honey.
No, I understand that it exists. I understand why it exists. But I don't understand it because I don't look at anybody. I don't profile. I don't understand that because I was a persecuted Jewish kid. That doesn't give me, so I was hurt. And I, but.
Well, you're more, you recognize it when you see it or hear it.
Oh, hell yeah.
You may not feel it the way that I feel it, but you know what it feels like.
Yes.
Because you have empathy and you have experience. And you don't have to live in my shoes. You've been close enough to my shoes as I have been to yours. You know, they are shoes that we walk in together. So the idea that you know, you can't say to somebody, hey, I get it. It would be crazy for you not to be able to say to somebody, no, I totally understand. I get it.
But here's, I can't understand because I haven't lived as a black man. I haven't lived that.
No, but you lived as a Jew.
Yeah, I damn well did.
Yeah. And so it is, and I say this with great love, you know, it's just harder to find you.
I don't know. I got this thing. It's you know, I'm pretty tall, you know, and I bop around, and
that may be true.
And but, I'll pick up a coin every now and then if I see one on the ground.
But you know, that's what I say to people. Listen, you're just easier to spot. That's the difference. Because if I was, you know, you can see me if I'm in, you know, I don't know, if I'm in the middle of a crowd where it's mostly white folks, you can find me. It's pretty easy. Like if I'm vacationing someplace, if I'm in, you know, the Czech Republic, you know where I am. You know, you just do.
Well, I like that because that way I wouldn't lose you. It's better than find my iPhone.
It's like, here.
Your family never has to worry if you're in some foreign land. If it's like homeland and you don't know where your passport is.
That's it. But it's, you know, it is. Empathy is what pulls it all together. It's just, you know, I get it. You know, I get it. It is what has been with us since time immemorial. Racism.
Yeah, it was hard to believe it was even worse. But yes. It sure was.
Yes. You know, and now we can say, no, you can't sit on people and kill them for 8 minutes. No. People say, no, you can't bust into somebody's house where they're living. You know, so we had, you know, 24 of these things and people said, oh, it's enough. It's enough now. Stop. Stop, 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 stop. People are screaming, stop, 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 stop.
The world is screaming.
The world is screaming, stop, enough, you know? And it's crazy, but something's happening. Change is happening.
The needle's moving. And in this 1 year that people will look back, where 2020 is supposed to be perfect vision, metaphorically, maybe it is. Maybe it is.
We'll know in 21. We'll find out.
Well, we'll know in 31. We'll know if what's happened is people have been able to make the change in this 1 year of we're not going to take it anymore. We're mad as hell. And we're going to make 20 years of change in 1 year. And it had to come.
Yeah. It had to come.
So what we need is love. And so now when's that? I want the 60s back with peace, love, and understanding. I want.
Well, you know, it sounds great, but remember, you know, we're big old boneheads then too.
Yeah. Kent State and all the terrible Vietnam.
And then look, us yelling at all these kids who went to Vietnam and us who didn't go, not recognizing who was coming back. You know, we were not empathetic. You know, there were a lot of stuff that, you know, you kind of, I do anyway. I look back and I think, oh, that was kind of rough. I should have thought, I should have been better. I should have recognized somebody in pain. I should have seen it. I should have known they didn't have any choice in the matter, really.
No, they were lambs sent to slaughter. My cousin came back. He was sprayed with Agent Orange, and it took years for him to deteriorate and then die.
We can only be as good as we can be when we're as good as we can be. It's all we have, you know? And you got to say, you know what? I was wrong here. I didn't practice what I preach now. I didn't do that then.
Right.
But I'm better now.
I mean, we protested. People protested the Vietnam War, but they didn't stop it from happening. They couldn't stop it.
We protested the kids who went also. And we did not help when those veterans came back. We did not help, you know? And this is the truth of the 60s. We did not help those who needed us because we just made these assumptions that you were going to do this and that was that, you know? Didn't realize, you know, you too, coming from a small town, trying to take care of your life and your family, you end up going to war. You know, they weren't thinking any more of you then than this one's thinking of folks now.
It makes me feel that mental health has to be at the forefront of everything, because every decade is PTSD upon PTSD upon PTSD, which is handed down to the kids and the generations. And then what about the people with no fathers, no mothers? That's how do we have to help each other.
Yeah, we do. And we have to recognize our shortcomings and make them longer, make them better, you know? So there are aspects of everything that I missed from then, but right now feels like possibility. Like anything that we can imagine might be possible, good and bad. So that means we've got to keep our eyes and ears open.
Now there's going to be more bad. And we're going
always
into
bad.
And we don't even know what's coming with this election, all the stuff that's going to happen between Alexa and Siri influencing us. And
I turn them all off.
Oh man, I try.
I don't want some chick talking to me in my room.
Well,
I don't want to be in my room and have her go, "Hello, Whoopi. Are you looking for me now? I bet you are." Try listening to this. It's like, I don't want people peeping at me. Right. I don't want them talking to me. Just let me do me in my house.
Something's wrong. My Alexa's become codependent. She's going, "Hey, Bob, wake me up tomorrow at 9 a.m. She's doing.
That's right. And you know, it's a Twilight Zone episode where you become Alexa and Alexa becomes Bob.
Oh, that's so cool. Let's call Jordan and tell him.
There you go.
Because he's making those. Are you watching anything to get you through? Are you enjoying any binging? Are you watching movies or TV?
You know what? I've watched a couple of great things. I've watched some fun things. I love horror. So I watched this last incarnation of Penny Dreadful with Nathan Lane, which was really kind of
I want
terrific.
To see that.
It's really good. It's really good. And then I watched The Great, which I saw by mistake. And thought, oh, I'm going to stay. And then something, The Heist? No. Stealing Something. I've just started. It's on Netflix. It's taken from a Spanish show. And it's wild. I can't think of it. I want to call it The Heist, but it's not. So I'm listening to books, which make me happy.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
I'm with my wife, Kelly, going through Homeland. I never watched it. Which is, had you watched it?
No.
It's CIA. It's don't trust anybody. It's the government is as evil as the terrorists. And it calms me down from the news.
Well, I don't watch the news because we have to talk about it every day. I just, right. I can't.
Well, you,
can't
just, you get your notes anymore. In the morning and you guys go through them. Do you speak to each other about it? Yeah, you do. In makeup, you talk to each other some.
Well, not anymore.
No, what am I talking about? I'm living in the past. I'm living 4 months ago.
You know, that's all right.
Oh.
But, you know.
Are they talking about you guys coming back without an audience?
I think probably. But, you know, you're really going to have to talk me into coming, leaving my house.
That's a lot of finger pricks, and it's a lot of the nose swabs don't go all the way up. I had one yesterday, the new one.
You are not putting anything in my nose.
Yeah.
My nose is to blow things out,
yep.
Not to accept things. But I know I have to be an adult.
Although in the early 80s, you never did. Never mind.
No. You know. No. Ah, yes.
Oh.
But, you know, I'm just not prepared to leave the house yet. I'm just not. And this works really well. I like this.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to say that. But, I mean, we go in the backyard and we're in Hawaii. I go, we're in Hawaii today, honey.
That's right.
Let's go in the kitchen. We're going to go to a really good restaurant.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I love you so much.
The feeling is mutual.
I always have. You're such an amazing person. I just, you inspire me so much. And thank you for doing this.
Well, you know, anything for you. Because you make me laugh, so it makes me happy.
And I haven't done any penis jokes. There was one moment that something was coming. I can't remember. But maybe I just did. I did it. So that was it. So.
It was.
Yeah. I got scared.
But like a song, it goes quicker than you think.
There's another one. Now, no matter what you say, that's the beauty of them. Once you start one, see? It doesn't. They compound. Kind of like,
they do compound.
Like interest in a bank. Well, not now, but.
That's right.
Well,
that's right. My question is, are people actually sleeping together or are they lying?
That.
Are they wearing masks in bed?
I wear one over my crotch and as though it fell out of an airplane and just continue to breathe normally. And put it over yourself before the baby. But the baby shouldn't be in the room if you're in bed.
That's right.
That's,
no, you shouldn't.
Non sequiturs are not necessary right now. But but I do think when this thing is over, there are going to be people that are going to want to split up. There are going to be people that love each other more than they ever imagined because they're working so hard they never saw each other. But and some kids are going to want to be emancipated. It's a fascinating. That's the other thing. I mean, looking at humanity, it's an amazing thing, and people that are in denial have to stop. They just have to stop. They have to wear the mask, stop. Droplets never meant anything bad, but now it's all real. Yeah.
It's all real.
Well, stay well, you and your family. Sending you so much love, Whoopi.
Ditto.
So happy to talk to you.
And you.
Bye, love baby. You. Whoopi Goldberg. See, that's how you do a professional thing. Boy, do I love her. She is, no matter what you believe in life, if you can have the strength to have the conviction to know who you are and speak your mind. I've always loved her. She's just a special person. Some of you out there might not believe in her views. I'm of like mind. Might not believe in my views, but I'm open to listen to your views. She's open to listen to people's views, and everybody should be. And I don't know what to say. I love Whoopi Goldberg. So that's it. Another episode of Bob Saget's Here For You. There, I said it. I really love doing this. I hope you guys enjoy it. You subscribe, you rate, review, buy everything the sponsors said, listen to all the podcasts they promoted during this thing. Go up in the thing. There's a phone number you can call. Leave a message, and I'll put on Twitter and Instagram when I'm going to call you guys and see how you're doing. throughout this this time and throughout the next time. I'm not stopping doing this. This isn't something I did for quarantine. This isn't something I did. I did it because it came naturally, because I felt that was something I wanted to add to my hard drive of always wanting to do comedy, always wanting to do something that affected people or entertained them or helped them or whatever. So sending you all my best, and I will talk to you on the next episode. Be well, everybody.
I've put a lot of thought into my girlfriend's engagement ring. Did all the research, shopped around, and got lots of opinions. At first, I was planning on getting her a lab-created diamond. But after my visit to Shane Company, I changed my mind. I learned that lab-created diamonds have continually dropped in value, whereas natural diamonds have consistently maintained or increased in value over time. And all the diamonds at Shane Company are natural. What's really cool about a natural diamond is that there is no other diamond in the world like it. It's a natural wonder created by the earth billions of years ago, the oldest and rarest thing you'll ever touch. How romantic is that? And Shane Company's diamonds are conflict-free. They've always sourced their diamonds this way. So for my girlfriend's engagement ring, I chose a 1-carat natural diamond for her center stone. It's spectacular, and it's one of a kind, just like she is.
Now you have a friend in the jewelry business. Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.